nothing I can do. A total eclipse of the heart.
That is going out to my sister, Sarah. Sarah, I hope that you are like getting ready to hit the gong in your pharmacy today. It is your birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Sarah. And for anyone going into Queen City Wellness Pharmacy in Regina today, make sure you say, happy birthday, Sarah. Total eclipse of the heart. She'll get it. Okay, I got that out of my system. Maybe there will be a little more during Bugs and Hugs later. We've got a lot going on the show. So much to dive into. So let's just get into it with the big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
Well, as we heard yesterday, Ontario Premier Doug Ford, among other figures in this country, thinks that it's time for Ottawa to hit back hard against the United States. Prime Minister Mark Carney responded yesterday with this.
There's times to hit back and there's times to talk, and right now is the time to talk.
Why? Well, for several reasons. Because of the position Canada finds itself in, with a better U.S. deal than any other country in the world, with the Canada-U.S.-Mexico agreement coming up for renegotiation, answering questions after his big bail reform announcement, which we will be discussing later in the show also. Carney also hit back on comments from BMO CEO Darryl White, who told a Toronto audience on Wednesday that Canada's tax system is not competitive, with Carney teasing what may be coming in the budget next month.
Look, this is a government that cut the capital gains tax in the first week. The government, we're well aware of what the relative effectiveness, relative tax rates are in investment, and we'll make sure that they are competitive in the budget.
As for the Middle East, Carney said he expects to see substantial increases in trade activity there. So, where do we stand? How confident are we feeling about our economy these days? Here to talk us through it is University of Regina economics professor Jason Childs. Professor Childs, welcome back to the Evan Bray Show and happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday.
We've got some politicians in this country and listeners to this program who think we should be more elbows up with the U.S. these days, particularly after that announcement from Stellantis this week that they're moving some promised production from Ontario to Illinois. But we also know the polling has shown that a lot of Canadians seem to be settling into these trade talks and feel confident that the prime minister will come home with a deal. As an economist, where is your level of optimism, Professor Childs, at for our economic future with everything that has unfolded this week?
Not good. I don't have a very positive outlook. Even if we resolve some of these issues, we're still looking at really slow growth. Basically, getting this solved, we don't drive completely off the cliff. We just go into a ravine. The fundamentals of our economy are not good. And this has been going on since before the Trump presidency and the shakeup in that trade relationship.
So tell me about that, because, I mean, here in Saskatchewan, we're looking at our province recently adding 19,000 full-time jobs. That was in September, keeping its unemployment rate at 6%. I'm just trying to make peace with your comments and those comments, those more optimistic comments.
Right. So one of the things that's been happening, and you can go back a couple of years and look at the comments by the Deputy Governor of the Bank of Canada and others, we haven't seen productivity rise much in this country for a very, very long time. And productivity is the fundamental driver of our standard of living. So the issue is not, hey, we've added jobs. What are these jobs? How productive are these jobs? And what are we doing to increase the productivity of the typical Canadian worker? Because that is what's, at the end of the day, going to drive our standard of living. If we don't get our productivity up, we don't start making more stuff per hour worked, our living standards are going to stagnate or even fall.
I remember exactly the talk that you're talking about on productivity a while back. So why are we not getting there yet? This was a very high. I believe that was to it was a Toronto audience or something, but it was to an audience of very high profile people, and it got a lot of media attention. Why are we not being more productive?
One, productivity is sort of this elusive thing that everybody chases. There's no magic bullet that we can say, yeah, we do this and we're going to get productivity increases. We know the things that not to do, but figuring out exactly how to do it is really, really tricky. And the things that we were doing, a lot of them are the things we shouldn't be doing, like restrictions, chasing business away, making it hard for firms to grow and innovate. All those kinds of things get in the way of productivity improvements and, again, make it really hard for us to improve our standard of living.
Mm. Okay, I want to shift gears for a second here. And for anyone just joining us, I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan all week. That means I'm done today. And I am joined by Professor Jason Childs, Professor of Economics at the University of Regina. And Prime Minister Carney was asked yesterday whether he would lift EV tariffs in order to get China to lift their canola tariffs. He danced. I don't know if you saw the news conference, but he really danced around that direct yes or no question. But he gave some interesting insight into some of those talks, saying that recent and ongoing high-level talks between Canada and China are covering a much broader range of issues than single sectors, like, say, EV vehicles or canola. He also suggested that when we look at cutting Chinese electric vehicle tariffs, we need to think about whether that would tick off the Americans and in doing so negatively impact a potential deal with them. How do you see this mess?
He's got a point. The EV tariffs in part were brought in under pressure from the Biden administration and that sort of history. And it was also done to protect the investments of the federal government and investments, subsidies, bribes, if you like, to big three automotive makers or European automotive makers to do battery and electric production in Canada. So it wasn't just about the U.S. It's also protecting a play that was made by the Ontario and federal governments into this space in what can only be described as 1970s era industrial policy. I think that was a mistake, and I think we have to be really careful here. I would advise him not to throw good money after bad. It's been pretty clear that those EV subsidies aren't playing out the way they'd hoped, and at some point you've got to say, that's a lost cause, let's walk away. Now, that all that being said, if we're going to lose our automotive sector anyway or see it significantly reduced, which this administration in the U.S. seems to want to do to us, what are we protecting?
Yeah. Well, we're protecting the Americans
who
don't want Chinese EVs here because they want us buying Elon Musk's Teslas and the like.
Well, or you know, GM or Ford.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Elon Musk and the president aren't besties anymore. So, yes.
Well, we'll see. Let's wait till next week.
Yeah.
But so you've got that whole mess. And it again, having EVs in Canada, the U.S. could still, and then does right now, put tariffs on those EVs if they go into the States.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's not made his case very well.
Interesting. Okay, let's switch. Well, not really switch. We're still sticking with cars and Stellantis. News of Stellantis moving some of its production from Ontario to Illinois this week has gotten a lot of attention. Unifor President Lana Payne said that President Donald Trump is trying to destroy the industrial economy of Canada. How do you see the Stellantis news?
It's not good news. Let's be really, really clear about that. I mean, you've got 3,000 people or more that have just received basically a dismissal notice. And those are well-paying jobs, and that hurts.
Yeah.
But this is not unique to Trump. These issues around the automotive sector have been going on for decades. Mm. And it's always a question of where you place production. And one of the challenges the Canadian automotive sector has had relative to, say, our Mexican counterparts also covered in the free trade agreement, we tend to be more expensive than our Mexican counterparts. And, you know, if we're talking about different production facilities in different parts of the United States, we can be more expensive than them as well. So we've got a problem in that we're not delivering the productivity to go with the cost of production here. And until we get that resolved or improved, the Canadian automotive industry is going to exist on a knife edge.
Well, it's interesting you say this because Yeah, tariffs aside. Well, we had somebody call into the show yesterday who is a business owner in Saskatchewan and said that they moved their production down or manufacturing down to the United States a long time ago because it's just not competitive up here. I had played comments a moment ago from the Prime Minister talking about the importance of competitive corporate tax rates. I wonder, Professor Childs, how big of a role you expect incentives for corporate Canada will play into the budget that's being tabled in the next few weeks.
Now, given looking at the track record of the Liberal government for the last 10 years, and I'm including this current government as part of that because the same people are at the table in the cabinet room for the most part, including Carney, who was an advisor and was involved, I think we're going to see some tax incentives. We're going to see some very specific handouts, I think. We're going to see more policies like the EV subsidy business. We're going to see very specific, very targeted, and a little bit of inside baseball, I think. That's my prediction. I hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But we're going to see lots more handouts.
What about when we shift our focus back to Stellantis going to Illinois? Do you expect to see more industry leaving Canada, whether it's connected to the tariffs or not? But I mean, Stellantis president didn't really make any secret of the fact that he wants to keep Trump happy. Do you expect to see more leaving Canada?
I think that's going to be part of the game, is how do we balance that and what can we offer to make this a value proposition? Or the other thing we need to be doing is, instead of that, again, we've had this historical in the automotive industry, this branch plant type structure. I think we might be seeing that start to roll back a little bit, and we'll have to find other things to fill those voids. And we do have our own sort of international champions. I mean, they think just right here in Saskatchewan, Brandt sold worldwide, incredible manufacturing, incredible products. Why are we chasing this branch plant mentality of the 1960s and 1970s instead of making Canada a place where more corporations like Brandt can arise?
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Professor Jason Childs, economics professor from the University of Regina. And we just got a minute left, Professor Childs, but I wonder, some of the conversation that we've been having on the show this week is how that united front isn't really feeling very united these days, and it hasn't really for a while. But in particular, when it comes to like potentially, you know, sector versus sector, province versus province, it feels very, very stark this week with talking about potentially lifting the EV tariffs, getting canola back, you know, with Howard Lutnick last week in the United States saying basically Canada shouldn't have an auto industry anymore. Do you worry about this sort of finger pointing across from different provinces, or do you see this as practical? Like, is it time to get rid of the auto sector and let's focus more on other sectors in the country?
Well, I'm never a big believer in saying let's get rid of the sector. Maybe we should stop.
Soften the words there.
Yeah, propping it up. And I've never been a proponent of that sort of industrial policy. So that's an easy one for me to say. Yeah, let's just, if it's going to move, it's going to move. Why bail against the tide? With regard to your broader question, this is a federation that's always had its tensions. And the current government, again, has played those tensions really, really well to its own advantage, and has brought those tensions back to the fore. I mean, you've got Quebec separatism on the rise. You've got the, you know, a looming referendum potentially in Alberta. And that is a part of these sorts of policies that are picking winners. And when you pick winners, there's going to be losers that aren't picked. Mm. And if that's done with a political eye, you're going to pit one against the other.
All right. Professor Jason Childs, you know, you have me thinking when you say why bail against the tide. We're going to be talking about bail reform today. I wonder if the Prime Minister is suggesting a double entendre there. Bail against the tide and bail reform.
That would be delicious.
Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. And we appreciate you as always. Professor Jason Childs, University of Regina Economics Professor. We've got more coming up here on The Evan Bray Show after the break. 980 CJME and 650 CKO.